Our scripture reading for this Monday morning is taken from the book of the letter to the Hebrews, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. According to the writings of a man by the name of Theodoret, who was a pastor in Syria, Syria at one time, many years ago, was a very prominent Christian community. Theodoret writes back in the 400s that late in 403 AD, there was a certain Christian monk living in Rome by the name of Telemachus. And Telemachus was invited by friends to go and watch gladiators fight to the death in the Colosseum in Rome. And while there, he was so appalled to think that these two men were going to kill each other, that one of them was trying to murder the other, that he was so moved with mercy and compassion toward them, he jumped over the wall down into the arena and came running out between these two men and started holding them back from each other and trying to convince them to lay down their weapons and to stop what was going on, of course, in front of tens of thousands of people. The mob, the crowd, started throwing rocks at this monk because they wanted to see a good fight and a good death. One of the gladiators, we're told, finally took his sword and ran it through Telemachus and killed him. It was interesting, though, that moved by this event, the emperor, who was there at the time, the emperor went back and reconsidered these gladiator fights and brought an end to them on January 1st of 4004, at the beginning of the new year. Thinking about other people and wanting to help them or preserve their life, showing compassion and mercy towards someone else, is something that's probably inside of all of us, and yet, if we're honest with ourselves, it's not always our first impulse. Quite often, my first impulse is self-preservation and what's going to be in it for me and what's going to help me. For that very reason, the text in front of us has to encourage believers to think in terms of being charitable toward other people, showing mercy and compassion toward other people. The text says that it is possible for us in this aspect of our Christian lives to grow. The word that's translated here is sluggish. It's actually a word that means to be lazy. In fact, another way that the word is sometimes used in the Greek language is in connection with describing someone who's going deaf. As if you start to go deaf to pleas for help and cries for mercy. Kind of conjures up the images from this Sunday's gospel reading of the Good Samaritan story. Remember the priest and the Levite who walk by and they don't pay attention to the cries for help of this man who's down in the ditch who's been assaulted by thieves. That same tendency happens to us too, even as Christians. Even though inside of us there is this desire to show mercy and compassion, at the same time, we can kind of grow deaf to those pleas that happen and come up all around us. This text is reminding us as Christians that because we're believers in Christ, you and I, of all people, have benefited from the greatest expression and show of mercy and compassion and charity that has ever happened, ever. And that is through the work of God's own Son for us. He could easily have just gone deaf to our pleas for help, to the fact that we were just going to ultimately die in this world and suffer eternal death. He could easily have gone deaf to all of the pleas for help, knowing that not a single one of us here could ever do anything good enough or well enough before God, that he would reward us and let us come to heaven. But God's own Son listened to those cries and pleas for help. He jumped down into the arena of this world and into the battle with the devil for us. He let himself go to the cross and feel the sword penetrate his own body. He did all of that for you and for me so that all of our guilt before God could be completely wiped away and forgiven. And that we, by faith in what he has done for us, could have the hope of someday going to heaven and getting to live with the angels, all because of his work, not anything to do with us at all, but totally because of this mercy and compassion of the Son of God, who was moved to act and to do something to take care of us in our desperate situation. And he didn't do it just while we were strangers. We were his enemies. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If anybody didn't deserve mercy and compassion, it's us, you and me. But think what he's done, and think what it means for us. Think what it means for your future. Think of what an outlook you get to have on your own grave because of what Christ has done by this tremendous act of charity, this tremendous movement of mercy and compassion toward us. Sometimes it's fun to watch little kids imitate their parents. Maybe a little girl in the kitchen trying to make cookies with her mom when she's 3 or 4 years old, flour all over the place. But it's fun to watch her want to imitate the parent, or a little boy maybe helping his dad with something in the yard. And even though that child, because they're young and maybe don't know as much yet and aren't as able yet, even though that child is imperfectly following what the parent is doing, it's still kind of a neat thing to observe, isn't it? To watch that activity taking place in a child's heart. When you and I, as believers in Christ, observe how our Heavenly Father, our eternal parent, has been so gracious and kind to us, and that stirs up in us a desire to want to imitate that, even though we do it imperfectly, even though it's always tainted with sin, even though the greatest acts of charity and mercy and compassion that we do in this life are sometimes tainted with our pride or some other false motivation in our hearts. But when that activity still takes place in us in a much smaller way, God smiles. God loves to see that in his children. In fact, remember the story of Job? Remember when in Job chapter 1, we're told that the devil, Satan, comes before God to talk to him? And God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you noticed him lately? Have you looked at the life of my child in the world, Job? Have you seen what kind of a person he is, striving to obey my will?" Just like a proud parent sort of bragging about their child, God, in a perfect holy way, brags about the works we do as believers in Christ before the demons. Isn't that an amazing thought? That God would look down in your life and see the kinds of acts of charity and mercy that you do and go to Satan and the devils and go, "Have you seen this? Have you watched this in my kids' lives? Have you seen how they imitate my compassion and my mercy?" Now, God loves to see this especially taking place inside of the household of faith. That's why he talks about that we should be ministering to the saints, to one another, certainly others as well outside of the church. But this is evidence that we belong to God's church. It's evidence that we belong to Christ. John writes, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." The fact that this mercy and compassion flows out of us, imitating our perfect Heavenly Father, is evidence of the fact that we're connected to him. We are his children. I remember years ago there was a man in my congregation, and he and his wife, they were very young, newly married at the time, suddenly were being hit with a lot of medical bills. And another young man, about that same age, came up to this man and on a Sunday morning after church and greeted him, and he just kind of tapped him on the shoulder and he said, "We're sure thinking of you and praying for you," and he just kind of quickly put something down by his pocket in his shirt and walked off. And when that young man got home, he looked in his pocket, and here was about a week's salary that this man had stuck in his pocket. When those acts of kindness and generosity are shown between fellow believers, it gives evidence of the fact that we belong to Christ and to his kingdom. And our text says, "God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name." In fact, on Judgment Day, God is going to recall the works of love that you did toward fellow believers in Christ. It brings to mind Jesus' words on Judgment Day when he says about those coming into the kingdom of heaven, "When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me." May the fact that you and I are heading to an eternal home based entirely upon the mercy and compassion of God through the work of his Son, may that be the very engine, the very motor in our lives that stirs up our hearts to show that same kind of compassion to others. Amen.